particularly if you like to play golf or go out and do anything outside. Anyhow, well, let me pray real quick. Lord, thanks for your word. Pray you teach each of us today what you want us to know. Help me to speak clearly, Lord. Help other people fill in whatever I should leave out. And just thanks for being you. Thanks for loving us the way you do. Thanks for being willing to pay that horrible price that you paid so we can be with you. And I thank you and pray this in your son's name. Amen. Is this thing loud? It is? I thought it was too. Okay, we are talking about the power of God's Word. And if you're new here, I've been thinking about this. And if you're a new person, you really need to hear this. If you're an older person who's been around 50 years, you need to hear it too. To be reminded of some stuff. But if you're new, you particularly need to hear it, particularly if you haven't known the Lord long, because when you said yes to Him and He saved you, He gave you a treasure chest at the same time, and it's called His Word. We call it the Word. A lot of people call it the Bible. Okay? But it is God's Word, and that's the reason we call it the Word. But we want to look at that, and let's just see what we get out of it. We are following up in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 23. We're going to go to chapter 2, verse 3. And then we're going to dance around and look at a whole lot of other scriptures, most of which are going to be up there for you. So let's just dive in and read it. He says this to believers, "For you've been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you. Therefore, since this has taken place, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Let's go through this one more time a little bit more slowly. He says, "For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God." God's Word is like a seed. It's described that way in different places. It's like life germinating, and it's imperishable. It's going to be here forever. It's not going to change. It's going to be here forever, and the seed's imperishable, and therefore it sort of makes sense that the fruit that comes from the seed is imperishable too. That's good news. That's us. Okay? People who are going to live eternally once they've met Christ. And it says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And part of the message here is, learn the Word. Learn what God says in the Bible. There's lots of things in here. And it's very good for us to know these things. We are born spiritually through the Word. We grow spiritually through the Word. So I think you're probably getting the message right now. Learn the Word. It's there for us. It's got a lot of stuff for us. Anyhow, look at this. This is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If you want to write these verses down, it's not going to hurt you. It might be good for you to go back and review sometime. So in chapter 4 of Hebrews, here's what it says. "The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Now, what this means is the Word is not just ink and paper. He says the Word's alive. He means the Word is alive. I really believe you can say it like this. When you release the Word to people, it's like releasing a power into the atmosphere where they are. And it's going to affect people one way or the other. If they're open to it, it'll affect them. If they're not open to them, it'll affect them. But it has great, great impact. Here's what Paul says in Romans. Consequently, talking about the Word, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the Word of Christ. That's powerful. That's powerful. And we need to think about that sometime. Not just here right now, but we're going to talk about this more, so I guess I might as well go on. Here's what Jesus says in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And I underlined a couple of things. He who hears my word, he's got to hear the word first or nothing happens, and believes what he's saying to him. At that particular point, he passes out of judgment, passes out of death into life. He's never even going to see the judgment seat at this point where people are judged. Are you going to heaven or are you not going to heaven? You're going to pass right by that if you believe God's word. Here's another thing, and this is in 1 Peter, our passage, where he says, 1 Peter 1:25, last verse in chapter 1, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Jesus again in Matthew 24. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And it's like it's a rock. You can stand on it for all eternity. We're in a world where things are shifting all the time. We all are very aware of that, I know. And it's good to have a rock underneath your feet. Matter of fact, that's a word that's used to describe Jesus Christ in the Bible, the rock. So the word is eternal. It's going to be here forever. A zillion years from now, it'll be the same. And it's very, very effective. It's effective. Here, this is a great verse. I love this verse. This is in Isaiah 55. And he says, you can all read this, right? For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. The word is very, very effective. It impacts people's hearts. And what I like to do is if I'm talking to somebody that doesn't know God, I like to open the Bible up and set it down in front of them and say, how's this read to you? And let them read it. Let God speak to them directly from His Word. It takes a little of the heat off you. People don't really care what we think that much anyhow. But a lot of people do care what God thinks. And when you set the word down in front of people, it impacts them. When they read that, it impacts them. If they have an open heart and they want to know God, it impacts them in a great way. And a lot of times you can tell that just by noticing their facial expressions. If they don't have an open heart, if they really don't want to know God, you may not see anything. But I guarantee you, based on what God says, it's impacting their heart. And I don't know about you guys, but I'll bet you $1,000 each one of you could remember times in your life when God said something to you in different ways. Maybe somebody talked to you about Scripture. Maybe somebody did open the Bible, lay it down, say, "How's this read to you?" But times when the Word impacted you and you were not a believer. I can remember going to the YMCA years ago. Still go, but anyhow, that's a different story. Going to the YMCA years ago in different towns, and at this time, a lot of the Ys, they would have a case out in the foyer, covered with glass usually, and they'd have a Bible open in it. And when I get done working out, I can remember times coming out there and reading it. And I still remember some of the stuff I read. I was not a believer, but it had a big impact on me, you know. When I became a believer, I could look back in time, and I did, and I saw all those signposts where God was trying to talk to me through His Word. I didn't get saved, not until much later, but it did have an impact on me. So it impacts people. Now, in 2 Peter, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, it says, It starts out this way. If you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord, then it says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. When he's talking about tasted of the kindness of the Lord, what he's referring to in this context, he's talking about you heard enough to say yes to God. You heard enough to ask Him into your life. Now think about this. Non-believers, when they first come to know the Lord, they don't know much. They were simply willing to ask Him into their life to forgive them based on what they did know, what they had read. And a lot of times it's not very much at all, but it's enough to bring somebody from death to life, death to eternal life, which is, if we don't know the Lord, that's where we're going. But if we do know the Lord, we're going to eternal life. That happens with just a small section of Scripture a lot of times. So what I'm saying is consider how powerful all the Word is. If you look at the whole counsel of God, it's very powerful. And one thing I'm going to say in passing is God is not looking for people that get it all together. He's looking for people who are simply willing to say yes to Him. In John 7:17, He says, I don't have that one up here, but it's a great verse. In John 7:17, Jesus says, if any person is willing to know whether or not what I say is the truth or whether I'm full of hot air, that's our translation, he'll know it. He says, if anyone's willing, he'll know it. All that said to say this, there is no shortcut around the Word to spiritual maturity. So if you're thinking, well, maybe I can do something to get around this, which I'm sure none of you are, don't think that way, because you need to learn it. And it takes time. And it actually takes time and it takes work. But frankly, it's something that's, I don't like the word addictive for the Word, but I'm going to use it. It's almost addictive in a way. Once you get into the Word and you start studying it and you start realizing what it says, you can get into a habit of doing it. And we belong, fortunately, to a fellowship that has all sorts of tools to help you learn the Word, to help you learn what God says. So you can take advantage of those. We've got CDs. We got all sorts of teachings you can listen to online, DVDs you can pop in your computer, different things. But there's no way that you can become effective in ministry or service for the Lord without learning the Word. You're going to heaven one way or the other. But if you want to do service for the Lord, which is what He asks us to do, you need to learn the Word. Now here's some benefits of knowledge of the Word. Just wondering if we'd ever get there, right? Okay. Wisdom. Here's what David says This is in Psalm 119. He says, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. They are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers. For your testimonies or your word are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts or your word." Now, another thing that the word, we could talk about the wisdom that you get from the word on and on. I'm not going to do it. You're just going to have to get into it and learn it yourself. But there's a lot of wisdom in the Word, God's wisdom. Another benefit is victorious prayer, because if you know the Word, it will help you pray. Now, this is in John 5:14, the little book in the back of the Bible. It says this, "This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." I take a lot of comfort in that, because there's a lot of people I want to see come to know the Lord that don't know Him. And one of the things I know is He says in different places in the Word that He wants everybody to come to know Him. He wants everybody to have eternal life. So if I'm praying for George, whoever, and asking God to make sure the message gets to them, I can be pretty doggone confident God's going to get that message to them. One way or the other, if it's at all possible, He's going to get it there. So it's a great way to help us pray, as if we know what God's will is, because we're praying in God's will. So it's something that He wants too. Effective ministry. What is ministry? Ministry is simply service. It's a Christianese word that means service. If we know the word, it'll help us be effective in ministry. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, for all the things that we do as we try to serve the Lord." You know, and some of the things are like comforting people. People get a lot of comfort from the Word. I can remember my own mother when she was ill, when she had cancer, she was dying, and I was a young believer. I didn't know squat hardly, but I liked the book of John. I'd get into the book of John. I'd read some verses to her. I remember her telling me, "I don't know how what it is about it, but it makes me feel good. It makes me feel better to hear this." And she was a believer, a young believer. She didn't know much, but she was certainly a believer. Encouraging people, of course, leading people to Christ. And when we talk about ministry, what is ministry? I just got this saying. It's service. Serving the Lord. Who is supposed to do that? The guy standing up front or the woman standing up front? Well, yeah. But we're all called to serve the Lord. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that the word is given for the equipping of the saints. You're all saints according to God if you believe in Christ and you have a relationship with Him. You may not feel like saints, but you're saints according to God. And it's our job, okay, to do the work that He would want us to do here. All believers, not just somebody standing up front. Character transformation, anybody into that? Don't everybody jump up at one time. I knew when I came to the Lord, I had a lot in my character that needed to be changed. I had no idea how much it needed to be changed or just how much changes were needed, but it needed to be changed. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, talking to believers. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." I went too fast. What this is saying in context, and you need to get into it and read it, what it's saying is, as we read the Bible, as we study the Bible, it is gradually transforming us over a period of time. And what's funny about that is a lot of times you don't even notice it. Somebody will point it out to you later that seems like this is different in your life, or seems like you're not as anxious as you used to be, or whatever happened to that fireball temper you had. All sorts of things like that. But it actually transforms your character over a period of time. Now, there's a couple of contingencies on this that we're going to hit toward the end. But it will do that. And we've got people in this room that I've seen it happen big time with. And I think we've got people in this room that can stand up and talk about that. Maybe they will later. I don't know. The Word also offers this, spiritual protection. And we need it. And one of the reasons we need it, is once you become a believer, we've talked about this before, but once you do, you have an enemy. And that enemy is going to try to slow you down. He can't turn you back, but he can slow you down and hinder you. I'm talking about God's enemy, Satan. And here's what God says. This is in the book of Ephesians. He says, Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And there will be evil days in your life when you're being tried. And having done everything to stand firm, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Get into the Word. Learn the Word. One of the things it says, and this is in Corinthians, is we don't have to be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. We can know what they are in a lot of situations. And in a lot of situations, we simply have to be tuned in to what God says about what's going on. And the devil does not like God's Word. Surprise, surprise. And the devil really hates to hear God's Word. And I know some of you may have been in this situation, but I'll describe it myself. I've been in situations. I can remember being in my office years ago up north, small business I had. And I don't know what was going on at the time, but I do know that we were reaching out to people, trying to get people saved, trying to raid Satan's hen house, so to speak. And we must have been having some success. And I remember I was in my office one night, it was getting late, and I just had this sense that there was something there in the office with me. It was depressing, it was threatening, and sort of foreboding. It's just something you don't like. And what I started doing, and I didn't do this because I suddenly thought of it. I did it because somebody a lot more mature than me had suggested it, because they'd been in those situations too. I started quoting verses aloud, out loud. And what was funny about it, really, and I thought it was funny at the time. I mean, I almost laughed. So I started quoting these different verses out loud. There's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that, you know, the rest of it. He who believes is not judged. He does not believe has been judged already. Things like this. And I found myself, I wasn't just talking. I found myself shouting these things at a certain point. And, you know, somebody would come by and say, there's a nut. But anyhow, that's what I was doing. And, gang, it worked. And it's worked on different occasions. Whatever that was, and I believe it was an evil spirit for sure, it was gone. It was out of there. And it was like the air had been cleaned. Now, that's God's Word. That was the power of God's Word. Just from a few verses being not read, just spoken out loud, because I know them. If I didn't know them, though, if you don't know them, you're in that situation, you can pick up the Word and read it. And if you really want to get the devil's goat, get into the book of John, okay? Or read Revelation, which reminds him of where he's going to. It works, is what I'm saying. It's not goofy. It works. There's power in God's Word. That's what I'm trying to get across. And I could tell you more stories like that, but I'm not going to. Maybe at the end here, somebody else will. We got a couple of things we got to do to really fully benefit from God's Word. Our responsibility, we need to act on God's Word. It's not good enough just to read it and say, well, that's cool, and walk away. In the book of James, James describes somebody like that as a person who looks in the mirror, realizes they got dirt on their face, and decides, well, I'll take care of that later, and they walk away and they forget all about it. He says, put it into action. Use my word. This is in James 1:25. Here's what he says. Read this. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word, and abides by it, does it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this person will be blessed in what they do. Do you like that? I like that. It's saying if you put the word into practice, you're going to receive a blessing down the line for doing that from God. So part of our responsibility, we got to put it into practice. And we got to have, there's another responsibility here. And this is really important too. We need to have the right attitude right mindset toward other people, the whole nine yards, when we get into the Word, if we're going to put it into action. And it says that in the very first verse, the second of 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander, and then he says, then, after you've done that, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So that by it you may grow spiritually as the new person you now are. Now, when he says malice, think about it. What is malice? That's simply having bad intentions towards somebody. We've all had this. Deceit, what is that? It's like guile. It's like lying to other people. It's like using people. Honey, I love you, and let's sleep together. One of these days we'll get married. That's guile. Okay? Hypocrisy. We know what hypocrisy is. Most of us do. Simply acting like we're somebody we're not. Putting on a show. And Jesus had a lot of harsh criticisms for people who have these kinds of attitudes. Envy. We know what envy is. It's jealousy. Wanting what other people have. Maybe wishing they didn't have it. Slander. What's slander? Lying about other people. Telling things about other people that aren't true. A lot of times that happens when we're gossiping about people. All these things are very destructive. And I'll say this to you. You're going to benefit very little from getting into the Word if you're not willing to lay these things aside. And I know people who unfortunately have been around for years, and they've been around for years and carried these attitudes with them all that time. They've grown very little spiritually. God will not honor it unless you're willing to lay these things aside. Because these things are not from Him. And sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's a little difficult to lay certain attitudes aside about people that have hurt you. But God says, lay them aside. Lay them aside. It's a really big deal. I could probably dwell on this for a long time. I'm not going to. I'm just saying, you need to be willing to lay these things aside in order for God to really work in your life and grow you spiritually. I've got sad stories I could tell you about people who would not do that. They're still going to heaven, but they haven't been very happy campers. And by the way, that's part of putting the Word into practice. Right there. Now, here's some provisions we get from the Word, and this is just a partial list. And we're going to get into these in detail a little bit, but encouragement. You ever need that? Comfort, guidance, peace, God's love, to feel it sometimes, assurance from God, these sorts of things. There's a lot more, and I've just given you a partial list, but let's go through them one by one. The ones I've got, there's just a half dozen there. Encouragement. I don't know about you guys, but I need to be encouraged on a frequent basis. I've needed that for years, and that's just the way I am. I can get going. I can get up a big head of steam, and I can suddenly find myself sitting thinking, why am I doing this? How did I get involved like this? And I need God's encouragement, and I need to know He's with me. Here's just a couple of verses. John 14:18. We studied John here a while back, where Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's talking to the disciples and us right before He was crucified and died. And that was after He was raised. But He was leaving. He was going to the Father in heaven. And He said, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. And I like this verse too. Here's one in Romans 8. Do you ever get the feeling like, yeah, I think I accepted Christ? I believe I've had a real assurance I was going to heaven, but by golly, you know, now I'm thinking about some of the stuff I've done. I'm not quite so sure that it all took. Remember this verse, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no judgment. You're not going to be judged for salvation if you've accepted Christ. Now, I talk about this because one of the things I know the devil will tell me is, you know, you're just a phony. You never really got on God's team anyhow. And look at what you just did last week or 5 minutes ago. I don't think I'm the only one in this room that hears things like that sometimes. Anyhow, it's good to know that the Word is here and I can go back to it and God hasn't changed His mind. Comfort. A lot of people need comfort from time to time. Here's just a couple of verses. Matthew says, at the end of Matthew, I'm with you always, Jesus is speaking, even to the end of the age. You don't see me, you don't touch me, but I'm with you. And in Hebrews, here's Jesus quoted again by Paul. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You guys like those verses? I do. Guidance. We need guidance from God. And here's a psalm. It's got a lot in it. And I just pulled out one verse. It says, with your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Little things like that. And in John, Jesus says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, and this thing just went on a blink, will come to you and guide you into all truth. Well, I can read it up here, but I can't read it here all of a sudden. See if it still works. No, it doesn't want to go forward anymore. Will it go backwards? No. Eh? I can't hear you. We got the expert here. He can deal with it. Monty has a spiritual gift of fixing this stuff and making it work perfectly all the time. All the time. Never a problem. Thank you very much. What did I tell you? God's love. You like to be reminded that God loves you? John 16:27, for the Father Himself loves you because you've loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. And this one I love, assurance from God once in a while. You know, when you get into a tough situation, which we all get into, and this is in Isaiah, the Old Testament. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just some of the verses that we find in God's Word to reassure us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to get us through tough situations. This is a treasure chest God has given to all of us, and we all should get into it. We all should learn it as much as we can over a period of time. Don't expect too much out of yourself. But it takes time, and God will honor what you're doing if you'll do that. Now, you know, there's a couple other things we need to get into. I'm not going to really get into it that much right now, but when we're studying God's Word, we need to learn how to interpret it accurately, which would mean two or three things, which a lot of people could explain to you, but what was the historical setting, when it was written, who was it written to, grammatically, what did the words mean at that time, these sorts of things. And we need to put them into action. We need to be willing to act on God's Word. There's a lot in the Word. That's one thing I'm trying to just get across. If you don't leave here with anything else, just understand that. If you're not into the Word, you're really missing the boat. So that's all I've got on this right now. We're going to take Q&A questions, answers, that sort of thing. And I'm supposed to be clicking for something else, I think. Somebody in the back like this. Yeah, next week, 1 Peter, Living Stones. Somebody's going to be teaching on that. And first-time guest, stop by. We'll give you a free book. Either one of these are very good books. Tell us what you think. If you got an update there and you want to give some feedback, we need it. So tell us what you think. And anyhow, during the Q&A, we're going to be passing the bag around to get a couple of bucks for contributions to make this fellowship run. If you're new here, we do not want your money, so don't put anything in that bag. Just let it go right on by it. Q&A. Up, right up here. A couple of them, I think.
I really like the whatever version of Bible that it is that you were using for that, because in mine, for the 1 Peter there, yeah, it uses the word men wither away. In 1 Peter, hold on a second, don't want to lose my spot.
What verse are you talking?
Where it says, all men are like, my version says all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field.
Yeah.
The grass withers and the flowers fail.
Sure.
But the word of the Lord stands forever. And if I read this from this version, I would take that to mean, hey, guess what, folks, you're all dying, you know. Yours.
Say that again. I didn't understand what you said. I'm sorry.
If I were to interpret it the way my version reads, it's telling me that, guess what, folks, you're all dying and you're screwed. Your version, though, refers to it as flesh.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the flesh is going to die.
Right.
But my spirit with Jesus Christ, that's going to be around forever.
That's correct.
But what I wanted to ask was, if you go back to your verse you brought up, Hebrews 4:12, where it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart." One, I always thought that soul and the spirit were one and the same. Are they different somehow?
They're different.
Okay. And different. If I've accepted Jesus Christ in my life, which means anything God sees come the day of judgment is seen through the blood of Christ, what does he have to judge me for? I've done no wrong as far as he sees through the blood of Christ.
When
is that removed?
That's a good question. You know, and different different translations use different words to explain that. When it says able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, it's talking about knows what your attitude is at that time, simply knows what you're thinking. Okay? In other words, I could look at somebody, I can't look at them like God does, but I can look at somebody with a scowl on their face, with a furrowed brow and so forth, and my judgment at that time is that person's really got something on their mind that's bothering them. In other words, it can read basically what your thoughts and intentions are. That's my take on it. I think it'd be a good idea for you to look at other people's translations around here, and it might be more clear. A lot of times, if you'll look at a different translation, it will help you, okay, from time to time. So I hope that answered that. Yeah, right here in the middle.
I just wanted to say as a word of encouragement to people, the classes at Xenos, that Xenos offers, sometimes when you're first getting started in those, you're like, I have 30 memory verses, you know, or whatever. That is so helpful. I remember the first time it clicked for me that I could recall a verse that I had memorized and use in a situation that I needed it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what it means to hide God's word in your heart. Memorize the verses, know them, know the situations, know the application, which is what you learn in those classes, and it doesn't leave you. It's very, very, very helpful. So,
thank you very much. Hear, hear.
I was thinking about what Mo was talking about earlier, and I thought, what if we jump a few passages before that? And it sort of, I think, regardless of your translation, may help sort of clarify the passage. People are like grass. So if we look back here, even at 23, you know, for you've been born again, but not of a life that will quickly end, right? Your new life will last forever because it comes from the internal living word of God. And then they go into, as the scriptures say, and sometimes it's worthwhile going back a few passages just to help clarify what you're looking at. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah, good point.
One thought. I've been thinking about this scripture the last couple of days, actually, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And, you know, and Mo, with your question, I don't know, these are just my thoughts, but like the scripture right after that says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And, you know, that was just right after that scripture about everything being laid bare in our lives and in our hearts, you know. And I don't know why I'm out of breath. I'm sorry. But, just, you know, in John it talks about just Jesus was full of grace and truth, you know, and he is the truth. And when we come close to Jesus, you know, it's not that all of our sins, yes, are covered with his blood, but it's not, he's going to bring light into our lives and he's going to bring truth into the deepest parts of our heart, you know, because he wants to bring transformation and you know, and he wants us to face who we are, you know, and we have to, you know, if we don't face who we are, you know, who we are in Satan, you know, basically before Jesus saved us, you know, we're never going to really embrace, you know, what he's done and the grace that he's offered us. We're never really going to grow or change, you know, and I just think how important it is to really see the depths, you know, of our hearts and what's really inside, the motives, you know, God's word, a living and active word, maybe not just what we read on a page, but when the Holy Spirit, you know, bring something to light, you know, that's living and active. And that, those are the things that judge, you know, the inner things. And but I don't know. But I was just thinking, so there is somewhat of a judgment. You know, we were talking the other day about building with costly things or the things that burn up. But, you know, not that it's, you know, we're saved. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking in circles. But I was just thinking, you know, that's why we have a great high priest, is, and that's why we can run to him, you know, when we see those things in our lives.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not sure I understood exactly what you were saying, and I'm sure you did, but I'm not sure I understood it exactly. But just one of the things I will say is God wants us to act on his word. We all come into a relationship with God totally boogered up. We think we're messed up. We got no idea how messed up we really are. And sometimes it takes years and years before the message will finally get through to us that, hey, you need to start letting God change your life through his word. That's true. And I can name examples, but I won't. Because I'd be one of them. But the point I'm making is, once we've accepted Christ, even though we're all boogered up and we got all sorts of problems, if we walk out in front of a truck that day and get nailed, we're going to heaven. And that's the good news. Okay? That doesn't mean we shouldn't get into the Word. Otherwise, I wouldn't have stood up here this long saying it. So I hope I'm not confusing anybody. Monty, in the back there.
Yes, I was listening to you.
Good, good. I think we can all identify with what you're saying. You know, I can recall bringing people to Central Teachings, brand new people, and their remark afterward might be something like, "How come you told the guy up there teaching about what my situation was?" You know, this happens frequently. But yeah, thanks. There's another.
Thanks. I was thinking about when a time when I was a young believer and the word was first, it was new to me, and I was in a situation and a lot of turmoil in my life and just a lot of suffering and wondering, you know, how's this going to work out? What's God going to do? And I remember somebody showed me in the first chapter of James where God says to consider it joy when you're encountering trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that will help bring you to maturity. And I remember that just thinking, so there's a, you know, God can do something with what I'm going through if I stay close to him. Mm-hmm. I think it's another example just of what Monty was saying, and what other people are saying about how God's Word, being living and active, it speaks to what situation you're in right now. He has something that will, you know, give me hope. That just gave me hope that this isn't in vain. I don't know what God's going to do with it, but it's not in vain. And it made God real to me. Like, He's personal. He really does care about what's going on in my life, and He knows what's going on, and He's there for me. So that's what I had to say.
Good. Good.
I just wanted to say that I totally agree with what Monty said. Our daughter was, when she was a teenager, she was really obsessed with Japanese, anything Japanese. She was learning to speak it. And then she started investigating Buddha and all this stuff, and I was just devastated that she was even thinking about this stuff. And it was just, she was rebelling in ways. And yeah. So I prayed about it. And we went to church the next week. Gary was speaking on every different religion, how everything was totally different from our God, and how, you know, he totally laid every bit of it out. And it was just so amazing to me that, and she happened to go with us that week. She lived with her mom, but that was one of the weeks that she actually went with us. And it was like he was speaking straight to her. And from then on, you know, she totally understood what she was messing with. I kept saying, you know, God says that, you know, we're not supposed to have any other idols. And, you know, I was just trying to explain these things to her, but she didn't really want to hear it from me. But it was like he was speaking directly to her. And another thing, my brother had the same experience that you did. He was pastoring a little church in Rose Hill, Virginia. And he heard a knock on the door. And his office was in the basement. And he went to the door, and there was no one there. Well, he walked around outside and then came back in. He thought, well, that was pretty stupid. I left the door open, you know. But he goes back in, and he felt just this horrible feeling. He said it was sadness. It was just scary. It was just overwhelming. It was the worst. He said, I knew it was a demon. Yep. He said it was the worst feeling I'd ever had in my life, and he's never felt it again. And he said he started praying. And as he started praying, he started walking towards the door. He said he felt it pushing this out the door. And he prayed all the way there, and he closed the door, and he never felt it again.
Yep.
But he could feel the power of what he was speaking. You know, was absolutely just taking care of it and pushing it out the door.
He was speaking out loud.
Yes.
Right.
He was praying out loud. He was saying, you know, you're not welcome here. And he was praying scripture, and it went away.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, one of the reasons you want to quote scripture out loud to Satan is contrary to what some people may tell you. He cannot read your mind. He doesn't know what you're thinking. But he does not want to hear scripture, I guarantee you. And, yeah, we could talk about other incidents of that, and it's very interesting. And gang, it's real. We have a real enemy. He does not want you here. He does not want you getting into God's Word. And he does not want you giving God's Word to people who don't know him. Anyhow. But in 1 John, in the back of the book, it says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So don't let him intimidate you, because that's one of his primary strategies, is to intimidate believers, to scare them. Thanks. Right here. Wait, they're going to bring you a mic. You're not a big mouth like Monty.
You don't know me yet. I think one of the best things that ever did happen to me was to have that happen, to feel that overwhelming sense of dread or evil. You know, I know as a non-believer it's very strange, but looking back at certain times, especially as a new believer, to have that happen to you just cemented my faith even more. Because the devil is the great deceiver, and to make people think that he doesn't exist, that's one of his tactics. So as a new believer or someone who's just new to Christianity, don't be afraid of it, you know. And also, like, you're instructing and teaching people about the devil. That is one call that you're to give younger believers, just to get them prepared beforehand, not to be afraid, you know.
Very good. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I think it backfires on him frequently when he, particularly a young believer, who's just getting out of the blocks. Anyway, he wants to intimidate him. He wants to scare him, and I think a lot of times it has that effect that you're talking about. That it just verifies that what you did was absolutely right, accepting Christ. And yeah, you do have an enemy. You know, it's going to be good in the end. It's going to be good in the end. Anybody else? 11:30, just about. Well, why don't we, anybody wants to pray, they'll bring you a mic. A couple, three of you guys pray if you want to, and I'll close it up and we'll go on.
Just praise you that you are real, that your word is real, that you hear us when we pray to you, Father. And I just lift up today everyone who's here, Lord, that you will just burn on our hearts, that you love us, that we're not orphans, that you hear us when we cry out to you. And just the verse that Kendall gave at the last, that you are greater than Satan. And you're going to have the final word, Lord. Thank you for that comfort and that assurance.
I agree with that, Lord. Thanks for your word. Thanks for a beautiful day. Thanks for all the blessings you give us, too, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you'll bring other people into each of our lives that we can share what we know with about you. Thanks for your word. Amen.